Movies Are a Thing is a weekly podcast going over the movies premiering this week.
And any other movie-related tangents we decide to venture off on today.
Hello and welcome to Movies Are a Thing. My name is John.
My name is Alan.
And I'm Travis.
And here are the movies premiering this week.
But before we do that, as always, how have your weeks been going, guys?
Be better if I didn't see Terminator.
Oh, come on.
we'll get there. We'll get there. But I got a line planned out to there. Other than that, how's your week been going?
I'm pretty good. I got a new car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a new one?
I did. Yes. I got a 2005 Chevy Equinox. So I'm ready for these harsh Minnesota winters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I saw a couple movies. It's pretty good. Saw Terminator and I saw The Lighthouse.
What'd you think of The Lighthouse?
I've seen that. I really enjoyed it. It's very weird. I think I liked The Witch better, but The Lighthouse was good.
It's by the same director, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yep.
Or the
Yeah, right.
Alrighty. Okay, so Lighthouse was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And that just came to your movie theater, right?
Yes, it did. Last weekend. So,
okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I noticed that when I went to see Terminator, I was like, oh, it's like the theater has The Lighthouse now.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Okay, well, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, so what'd you do with your car, your old one?
I ended up, well, it was through Car Hop, so I'm giving back that car. I'm still going to have to pay it off, but my aunt borrowed me some money, so I was able to get another car with such ease. So that worked out.
So you didn't sell the old one?
I didn't, no. Oh. I think the place will like take it to auction or something.
Mm.
But we'll see.
See how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. So this past week, there wasn't really a lot of good movies that we were talking about. And one movie apparently did not well at all, which was that Arctic Dogs movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, apparently that one did, like, horrible.
Yeah, it did not do well at my location either. Like, a few times it would get maybe, like, 20 people in it, but I think that's the most we had, like, the whole weekend.
Is that the one with Otto von Walras?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Yep. let me just double check here, because I was reading something that, okay, yeah, Arctic Dogs did just under $3 million, and I think it was like a $30 million budget.
Jeez.
Wow.
Well, I never heard anything about it until we podcasted about it. Like, I never saw any advertising.
Or right, anything. Right. And like, yeah, no, that it has not done very well.
Right.
At all.
Yeah, and it's got an okay, like, voice cast.
So. Oh, yeah, no, like, the cast itself is amazing, like we were talking about yesterday. yeah, no, it just has not done very well. There's another movie that didn't really live up to expectations this weekend. Alan?
Yeah, Terminator Dark Fate was crap. Mainly because it tarnishes the legacy of 1 and 2.
Yeah,
definitely. Without spoiling anything, but
Did not like it.
No. It didn't have a point. There was no purpose. It basically tried to just kind of, it almost seemed like a reboot. But the only reason they had to involve Arnold and Linda Hamilton was to draw in people who were fans of the old franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that they were trying to make it into another trilogy, they were trying to make it into a trilogy.
Okay.
And with the way that it performed, it seems like it's not going to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, no way.
Yeah, we'll see how.
But yeah, it was. There was no point to it, and nothing new. Like, no, that's the best I can say. Is like they
brought nothing to the table.
Yeah, no, it was just a good semi Terminator comes back to protect a bat, like protect someone from a bad Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Except this one had, I don't know. I also feel like it ruined Sarah Connor too.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see that definitely. Yeah. I liked it, other than, like, the movie being ruined for me within like the first 5 minutes because there's a
pretty... So now you know what I was talking about last yeah. week. Yeah. That's like... what I was talking about.
Okay. Because they completely like ruined it within having that twist be within like the first 5 minutes of the movie. And it's like, really? Come on. Why? But.
Okay. Okay. So you're saying don't go see it?
I mean, I would say...
Unless you see it on like TV or something.
Right, yeah. You know,
some streaming platform.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay to go see it.
Okay.
But.
Okay. Well, I know, you know, so Terminator was a sequel that not a lot of people were asking for, but they got. And I don't know if you guys had seen, but there was another movie that a lot of people were asking for a sequel, and now it's announced that there is going to be a sequel in 2022, I believe. One second, let me double check that. Fact checking. Yes. April 8th, 2022, a sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
Is coming in. Thoughts on the first one?
Really enjoyed it.
I mean, I liked it. I didn't like it as much as everyone else did.
Okay.
But I mean, not everyone's going to jump on the hype train as much as some others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like I said, it was a good movie, but there's some people who are like, oh, it's by far my favorite movie of the year, or the best superhero movie of the year. I was like, pump the brakes.
I mean, I'd classify it as like an animated one. Well, obviously it is animated, but like it's a totally different breed of animal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, compared to like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they're going to hit. I hope maybe they'll do like an animated Marvel Universe. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, I mean, technically, Big Hero 6 is in the Marvel Universe.
Really?
Technically, because it has a Stan Lee cameo.
That's true.
It's a Marvel. It's based off of a Marvel comic.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple other things. I can't remember offhand what they are, but I mean, you know, multiple universes. You never know.
True, yeah.
Going to a different universe and going to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm, right.
Goodness.
Hey, Big Hero 6 was a good movie, man.
It was.
Is that what it was called? San Francisco or whatever?
San Francisco?
Yeah. I saw that movie once a while ago, and I don't remember anything about it.
It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good. But yeah, the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, like, I don't know. When I first watched that movie, I thought I was going to be taken out of it by the animation style.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just seemed so weird. But the way that they did it, it seemed to suck me in more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it worked, definitely.
Because, like, I was some more stuff on YouTube, you know, watching different theories and, you know, how they made it and stuff like that. And basically, you know, when Spider-Man Prime is, like, fighting right at the very beginning there,
mm-hmm.
it's at, like, 24 frames a second.
Mm-hmm.
But then when Miles is, you know, doing his thing, it's like 12 frames a second. Like the background is moving 24 frames a second, but he's moving 12 frames a second.
Okay.
So like the background is moving, but he doesn't move for like 2 frames.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as they get more into the action, he starts kind of finding himself. Then it goes more into the 24. So it's a smoother, you know, there's less like motion blur. There's less jerkiness to it. Just going with all of that, it kind of gets you into that. Okay, now this is working better. It's going more smoothly, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, is kind of brilliant on their part. And then using, you know, going between the computer-generated imagery and then the hand-drawn animation mm-hmm. for, like, different panels and stuff within it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Technically speaking, it was pretty darn good.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'll see it, but... Just saying, I wasn't like yeah. all.
Well, I just hope that they have a good story, and they don't just feel like they have to put out another one because the first one did so well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. And I know Miles Morales has a lot of good stories. Well, I say that he's like the most hated comic book version of Spider-Man, but.
Well, I mean, there's not that many more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's. I know there's Peter Parker, obviously, Miles Morales, Gwen Stacy. I'm trying to think who all has been Spider-Man.
Is Miles Morales really that hated, though? I feel like everyone's been trying to get him in the MCU.
In the comic, like, when his comic first came out, the story itself, like, a lot of people just hated the story.
Okay. Hmm. But then I've also heard that he's, like, the most liked, though, too, besides, you know, Peter Parker.
I think recently it's mm-hmm. gotten to that point, but when he was first introduced, and I don't know if that has to do more with, like, people being, oh, well, he's not Peter Parker, so he's not my Spider-Man kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay.
Let me see if I can find anything here.
Because I remember he's one of the more, like, he's probably, like, the most liked one out of, because I remember recently Marvel tried to do that big, like, overhaul where they tried to, I guess you could say the word diversify, like, a lot of the superheroes and kind of rehash some of them. Like, I know they did some stuff with, like, Hulk, and they did, like, it was, like, a female Captain America, but she was, I think, South American or Mexican or something, and then they did Miss Marvel, obviously, who's Pakistani? I think. But okay, basically, they tried to, like, diversify a lot of the superheroes, and a lot of people were just, like, just quit trying to change them, leave them the way they are. But on that front, like, Miles Morales is definitely the most well-liked, I would say, out of all of those ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of reading some stuff here, and, I mean, you know, basically, like, what a lot of people are saying for when Miles Morales was brought in, let's see here, I'm just trying to go through this, but basically, like, you know, in the run of comics where he came in, you know, basically they had been with Peter Parker for almost 150 issues, and then all of a sudden Peter Parker dies, and then Miles Morales comes in as basically his replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you're starting over and just wasting all that history that you had with Peter Parker as Spider-Man. At least mm-hmm. that's what, you know, some of the stuff I'm kind of reading here, so take that as you will.
Okay.
But, yeah. I don't know. I really like Spider-Verse. I'm kind of angry I didn't get to see it on the big screen.
Okay.
I was meaning to. I had been told that it was a really good movie mm-hmm. When it was playing in the theaters and everything like that. I just never had an opportunity to, and I finally got a chance to watch it, and I'm like, dang, I missed a good opportunity to go watch it, you know, visually, like, stunning movie
mm-hmm.
on the big screen.
Okay.
When you watched it, did you get the feeling like it should have been, like, there were scenes that they tried to do in 3D and, like, it was messing with your eyes a little bit to where you thought it was maybe being 3D?
Not really. I mean,
I guess I haven't watched it since it's been out on mm-hmm. like on a TV, but I know when I watched it in theaters,
mm-hmm.
I got the feeling that, like, it was trying to be 3D, but then it wasn't.
It was more the animation style.
Because that could have been.
Because if you, like, take a still frame of somewhere where it looks like it's supposed to be 3D, like, mm-hmm. I think right near the beginning when his dad is driving him to school or something like that,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's driving, and, like, the background is crazy out of focus, like you see with some 3D converted movies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what it actually is, if you pause it, it's more like a comic book style where it's those tiny little dots.
Oh,
or like,
okay.
Or, you know, kind of like with screen printing where they use, like, the different size dots and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I think it was different size dots. I can't remember offhand anymore. But
okay.
Basically, they're using, like, a comic book style. I don't even know where I'm looking for, but, you know, comic book style of drawing or painting or animating, and then turning that into a full-on animation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know you're kind of looking to add something to.
No, I was reading up on what I stated before while you were
mm-hmm.
discussing the animation. It was the Young Avengers. So, okay. Like, that had Miss America, Ironheart, Hawkeye, which is his daughter,
mm-hmm.
Iron Lad, Hulkling, Cassie Lang. So stuff like that. That's what the run of superheroes that I was thinking of where people were like, this is unnecessary, we don't need this, and they weren't happy with it.
Gotcha,
but it
gotcha. Didn't
say anything about Miles Morales in it, so.
Okay, okay. Well, I mean, they already have, you know, one insect in there. They don't need a, because I'm guessing Cassie Lang took over for her dad.
Mm-hmm.
It just says Cassandra Lang, but she does look like she has, like, an Ant-Man outfit on, or Ant-Woman ant suit, we'll say.
There you go. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's basically all I really had for Spider-Verse news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I think we're going to stay in the comic book universe for some other news that kind of dropped this week. I don't know if it's fully in there or not yet, but we had two more possible castings that I saw for the Batman. And that was Colin Farrell as the Penguin and Andy Serkis as Pennyworth, Alfred Pennyworth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about those.
Colin Farrell definitely not as the Penguin. I mean, unless they're going the more like comic book route where he's more of a gangster than, you know, Danny DeVito style of Penguin. Yeah. But I mean, it could work.
Yeah.
I do like Andy Serkis's Alfred though.
See, I don't know, because when I see him, I don't see, you know, like a fully prim proper butler. Okay. I see Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
I see Caesar from Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
I see Snoke. I see Claw from the MCU. You know, I see all these different things, but I don't see him as like this prim proper kind of butler type that, you know, you never know. Might be, you know, just crazy awesome dude in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know there's some versions of Alfred that he's pretty BA himself.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Irons?
No, not like Jeremy Irons, but like knows martial arts himself and is the one that actually taught Bruce Wayne a lot of this stuff and how to defend himself and everything like that.
Hmm.
Cuttlefish.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if they're looking at him and, you know, he gets the part, obviously he would have gotten it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just have to see how it all goes.
Definitely. I did also see, so IMDb lied to me, but I thought it would have been a cool idea if Matthew McConaughey as Two-Face.
I mean, I can, you know, I don't know.
So was that you who put that in there?
I did, yeah, because I saw it on IMDb, and then I was like, oh, that's cool, okay. But then, obviously, John brought it up to me, and I was like, oh, crap, it's not even on there now. That's fantastic, but...
But it's still rumored.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been, like, debunked or serious rumors, Matthew McConaughey. Do they really want to do two villains again, though?
Well, technically, maybe? It'd be three, because we'd have Penguin, Two-Face, and Catwoman. Catwoman, or Riddler. Yeah, Riddler, Two-Face, and Catwoman, and Penguin.
Because Riddler's been cast, like, he's...
Yeah.
He's in the movie.
Yeah, Paul Dano.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, technically, if Colin Farrell is Penguin, and then we got Zoe Kravitz, right, as Catwoman, and Paul Dano as Riddler, that's going to be three villains in an origin movie for the Batman.
Is it going to be really, like, that focus, like, origin centric though? Like, are they really going to focus that much again on him becoming Batman? Because as I thought I heard, it was just going to like start with him, like he's Batman, and they kind of delve in.
I don't know, because of Robert Pattinson's age.
True.
Well, I know he's going to be like a younger Batman, like
kind
of freshly starting, but not. We don't need to see
exactly
the Waynes getting shot in an alley again. Like, we got it. I mean, they could do a quick little disposition dump
at the beginning
of the movie, or have like a flashback, like, you know,
start
the movie with a fight scene, you know, show us the new Batman in action, doing some kind of justice-y stuff, you know.
I mean, I guess technically he is like close to mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, have the movie start with him busting some gangbangers or some bank robbers, and then... Like I said, do a little dump with quick little like 5 to 10 minute jaunt about like his backstory, and then leave it at that, or even don't even do one.
Yeah,
just because everyone we know, even people who haven't seen Batman know the history of Batman.
I mean, I don't know. I'm still just kind of worried that there's too many villains, and it's going to go the same way as The Amazing Spider-Man.
I mean, if they do it right, like if they give each of them solid time in between each other, like not have all of them on screen together, yeah. but like have them individually be a part of the story to where he gets to whatever he's doing, I would be okay with that.
Yeah. And I mean, if it was like the second or third movie, it would be a lot more palatable for me. But since this is the first movie with Robert Pattinson, we have to get used to Robert Pattinson. We have to get used to Andy Serkis. We have to get used to Jeffrey Wright as Commissioner Gordon or Lieutenant Gordon. What is he in this movie?
I think he's Lieutenant.
I think.
Commissioner.
Okay.
He is Commissioner. So I mean, we have to get used to all of them as our main kind of core group of heroes, right? And then to also throw in so many villains that we have to get to know their motivations, try to, you know, be like, you know, go get them, Batman, kind of thing. I feel like it's too much.
Okay.
I feel like they might be, unless the movie itself is like 4 hours long, I feel like it's going to be too much. And if, like I said, I feel like it's going to be one of those things where it's going to kind of have the same thing that happened with, well, Spider-Man 3 and Amazing Spider-Man 2, where they tried to cram too many villains in.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. I'm still excited for the movie. Like, I really want to see what Robert Pattinson does with this role.
After watching Lighthouse, Robert Pattinson is going to be a good Batman.
Okay.
I have my faith back.
And the Batgirl being based off of Willem Dafoe's.
Yes. Yes, I'd be okay with that, definitely.
Well, that's what he said. He took cues from Willem Dafoe's accent in The Lighthouse to...
Oh, I remember you saying that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if he was actually being truthful or if he was just kidding around, you never know, because it's Robert Pattinson. So,
when's the release date for that again?
2022. Or, sorry, 2021.
I was like, it's
June 2021.
Oh, goodness, that's...
So we still got a year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Be here before we know it.
Yeah, that's right. The thing. You know, we're talking about it as if it's so far away right now, but, you know, they are going to, if they haven't already finished writing the script, you know, get it all approved by the higher-ups, get locations and settings kind of made, shoot it, edit it, special effects it, score it, done. You know, along with everything else that happens with movies, but
right.
generally speaking.
Right.
Yeah. But then, you know, kind of going back to your point, you know, adding in Matthew McConaughey as Two-Face to all of that.
I'd say if you're going to leave one out and add one in, I'd rather see Matthew McConaughey as Two-Face than Colin Farrell as Penguin.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. I just don't know. I would reserve my judgment on Matthew McConaughey until I see it. But I would have my doubts.
I can just imagine that. Just Matthew McConaughey being Two-Face.
God. I mean, all I can really see him as is basically replacing Tommy Lee Jones. Like, kind of having that same kind of performance.
Just over the top and
better. Flips his coin. Better call it.
I'm not gonna call it.
Be a lot cooler if you did.
all right.
It's like,
I don't know what.
All right, call it. And then the person calls it Peaks. All right.
But then, like, what is Colin Farrell going to do as a Penguin? Like, if it's anything like Bullseye.
Well,
do you remember him as Bullseye?
I do. I do. That's the first thing that popped into my head, quite honestly. But
you notice every time he puts on his coat in that movie or, like, does some kind of, like, any kind of physical action movement, there's a rattlesnake sound effect in there.
I never noticed that.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I'm like, why is there a rattlesnake? Like, when he puts on his coat, it's like, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why is that a thing?
So, I'm kind of just thinking here. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I can see Colin Farrell more as Two-Face than I can as the Penguin. Like, yeah. You guys ever watch Seven Psychopaths?
Not for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Like, just that whole kind of, like, franticness, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then I haven't had a chance to fully watch this, but in Bruges, where he's an assassin,
mm-hmm.
but he's like he's also got depression and is suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very dark comedy if you haven't seen it, but like apparently kind of plays that angstiness more. I don't know. And then oh yeah, he was Graves, duh, in Fantastic Beasts.
Oh yeah, he was.
I mean, that's what I was thinking of. They could have, they could have Colin Farrell be Hugo Strange. I could see him being that. Or Scarecrow, even. But.
Ooh. Scarecrow.
Mm-hmm.
Scarecrow. Although.
Speaking of which, have you ever seen Cillian Murphy's screen audition when he was Batman?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But I was gonna say, like, I don't think very many people would be able to take it away from Cillian Murphy,
yeah,
because that was pretty awesome. His interpretation of the Scarecrow was pretty awesome.
he actually didn't do bad as Batman mm-hmm. in his screen test. I'm gonna try and pull it up. But Ion Bailey, I don't know who he is. He has probably the worst Batman I've ever seen. But yeah, him as Batman isn't terrible. Like, he only has this one thing that he actually looks pretty good in the cowl.
Mm-hmm.
That was very much like Michael Keaton.
But Batman. This guy, I don't know this Bailey guy. Listen to this garbage.
Happy birthday, Bruce. Oh, Mr. Earl.
That's him as Bruce Wayne. Him as Batman is horrible. Ugh. Oh, no. But yeah, regardless. Cillian Murphy wanted to be Batman, much like Tom Hiddleston wanted to be Thor. Originally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. Yeah. But they ended up being better as...
They were perfectly cast the way they were.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. speaking of Cillian Murphy, though,
mm-hmm.
I haven't fully watched the movie, but I've seen a couple like video essays on Sunshine.
Okay. Have you not seen that yet?
I don't know. I can never find it. Like, I've gone through looking in a couple different places. I can never find it, but... I don't know. It just seems like...
I'm surprised I don't have it on Netflix. They got Snowpiercer on Netflix, but not that.
Mm-hmm. The dude can act really well.
He can.
Cillian Murphy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tried watching Peaky Blinders, but I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
And then one that I'm sure you guys have watched is the 28.
I liked the first... Yeah.
28 Days Later?
I think I liked the sequel mm-hmm. more than the first one because it was more action. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, he did a good job in that one.
28 Weeks Later was better. Oh. And Hawkeye's in it.
Yep.
Perfect. Alrighty. Well, what do you guys say we get into some of the movies that we have for this week?
Let's cut the chatter and have at her.
Fantastic.
Did you say cut the cheddar?
Yep. Cut the chatter and have at her.
Oh, chatter.
Not cheddar.
Chatter.
I was like, cheddar, huh? I was like, you know...
Cut the cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
Alrighty. So the first movie that we have today is Dr. Sleep, which is rated R. Dr. Sleep is the continuation of Danny Torrance's story 40 years after the terrifying events of Stephen King's The Shining. Still irrevocably scarred by the trauma he endured as a child at the Overlook, Dan Torrance has fought to find some semblance of peace. But that peace is shattered when he encounters Abra, a courageous teenager with her own powerful extrasensory gift known as the Shine. Instinctively recognizing that Dan shares her power, Abra has sought him out, desperate for his help against the merciless Rose the Hat and her followers, the True Knot, who feed off the Shine of Innocence in their quest for immortality. Forming an unlikely alliance, Dan and Abra engage in a brutal life-or-death battle with Rose. Abra's innocence and fearless embrace of her shine compel Dan to call upon his own powers as never before, at once facing his fears and reawakening the ghosts of the past. IMDb has this one at a 7.5 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 73%, and Metacritic is sitting at a 61.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys going to go catch this?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm going Saturday, but I just want to point this out. I'm going to play another clip. Every time somebody talks about The Shining, I always think of this clip.
Me too.
You've got the shit.
You mean Shining.
Shh. You want to get sued? Now.
Every time. You've got the shitting. But I've not watched The Shining in a hot minute. Nonetheless, I still think I'll enjoy this movie. Because, I mean, if you remember most of it, or at least the basic foundations of The Shining,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh God, I don't think I've watched it.
It's a lengthy one, too. It's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's 151 minutes?
Yeah. But, I mean, the original Shining wasn't... It was pretty long, too, so I guess.
Didn't Stephen King hate it
or yeah, something? Yeah, he did, yep.
Yep.
He didn't like the movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it differentiated from his book too much.
Mm-hmm.
But Stanley Kubrick made it, like... made it make sense in a visual form rather than a written form. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, if Stephen King were to, well, he did, but adapt, you know, basically as written into a movie, it wouldn't have been nearly as good. And if the movie were to be adapted into a book, mm-hmm. the book would not be nearly as good.
Okay.
See, yeah, the original Shining was 145 minutes, so still pretty long. But
That's 2 hours and 25 minutes for those that are keeping track.
Yes, and the new one is just about 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
2 hours and 31 minutes.
Yep.
But I don't know. Like I said, I want to see... We plan on seeing this Saturday, but now that The Lighthouse is playing at theaters near us, I almost want to see that first.
Two movies this weekend.
Yeah, please see it, because I want to talk about it.
The Lighthouse?
Yes.
I've heard nothing but good things. But back to the task at hand. I'll probably end up seeing this, just because... Well, I feel like the people I'm going with want to see The Lighthouse, too. But I feel like Dr. Sleep's more of like a Saturday night, let's go catch a scary movie. I mean, it's got 95% on audience reviews, and it doesn't have bad critic reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But can we point out the elephant in the room? Are you going to see this?
Probably not, no.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen The Shining?
I have not.
Really? Okay.
I've obviously been spoiled on a lot of it because, it's from 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, I have seen Ready Player One.
Sure, okay.
And actually, I did watch a little bit of the documentary 237.
Okay.
And, you know, just kind of read about different stuff for it. You know, I like movie trivia. I just don't like scary movies. Mm-hmm. So I'll read, like, the trivia for the movies and things like that. But
yeah. Apparently in that movie, Stanley Kubrick was so mean to the...
Shelley Duvall.
Yeah, to Shelley Duvall that she, like, broke down.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. No, she had, like, a mental break and had to...
Mm-hmm.
She took a break from just everything for a while after this movie was
mm-hmm.
finished.
Mm-hmm.
Or after The Shining, I should say.
And then she came back and did Suburban Commando.
Did she do Popeye before or after The Shining?
I feel like that was after.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure.
When did Popeye come out?
Has she even been in anything, like, in the last 20 years?
Well, let's see. In the 90s, she was, yeah.
Yeah, but that's 20 years ago.
Yeah. Although that was producing. Let me see if I can find... Acting. Yeah. She was in Manna from Heaven, Dreams in the Attic, Bolteneck, The Fourth Floor, but that's getting into the 90s now, so. Yeah. Manna from Heaven in 2002 as Detective Dobrinsky.
So we're going to go with no, she hasn't.
At least nothing notable.
Well, I mean, this movie had, you know, Shirley Jones and Cloris Leachman and...
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. But, no, I was looking at Danny Lloyd, who played Danny in The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he's in Dr. Sleep.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
As spectator at baseball game.
I'm going to have to look out for him.
Right?
Because how old would he be now?
He'd be 46? 46.
Okay. So he's up there, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But if, well, I guess it has been 40 years. No, yeah. Yeah, 40 years, basically, since The Shining came out.
I feel old.
Shining came out in 1980.
Yeah. Wow. 5 years before I was born. Jeez.
Yeah.
So I looked up Shelley Duvall just because I was curious. Apparently, if my math is correct, she is 70 years old now, which I would have never guessed.
Well, let's see here. Yeah.
July 7th, 1949.
Yeah. 70 years old.
Goodness.
Wow.
Oh, no. Popeye came out the same year as The Shining.
Yeah, but check the month.
Let's see here. When did Shining come out? Well, Shining was released June. Popeye.
Lord have mercy.
Ooh. Age has not done well for her.
Yeah.
I was like, 70. I was like, I don't think she looks that old. And then I looked at pictures and I was like, okay, she she has aged.
Popeye came out.
That is crazy.
December of 1980.
So Shining came out first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So apparently, all these pictures of Shelley Duvall was she was on Dr. Phil.
Really?
Really? Okay.
That is nuts, though. That is dang.
Oh yeah, 2016.
Hmm. Oh, well, that she was on Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Yeah. From Hollywood star to near isolation, helping The Shining's Shelley Duvall. That's the name of the episode that she was on.
Dude, okay. I'm like, I'm astounded. Like, if someone showed me a picture and they were like, hey, do you know who this is? I'd be like, nope.
No, right? Like, in those movies, she was so, like, skinny and frail-looking, and now she's just obviously older and a little age has just not done well for her.
I mean, but I can kind of see her.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see it when you know you're looking at Shelley Duvall, but if someone were to just be like, name this actress and pulled out her picture, you'd be like,
Okay.
That is crazy.
Was she on Dr. Phil to talk about like how Kubrick was mean to her and did all those things on The Shining, or does it not say?
It doesn't say.
Okay. I'll have to look that up.
But yeah, I'm gonna see it. Dr. Sleep, not the Dr. Phil.
Gotcha. You gonna watch it ASAP?
I'm gonna watch it ASAP. I would go tonight to watch it if I could, but I don't feel like going, so I'll wait until Friday.
I'm going on, yeah, Saturday.
Alrighty, cool. Well, might as well move on to our next movie.
Sounds good.
Which is Playing with Fire. This one is rated PG. When straight-laced fire superintendent Jake Carson and his elite team of expert firefighters come to the rescue of three siblings in the path of an encroaching wildfire, they quickly realize that no amount of training could prepare them for their most challenging job yet. Babysitters. Unable to locate the children's parents, the firefighters have their lives, jobs, and even their fire depot turned upside down and quickly learn that kids, much like fires, are wild and unpredictable. I did not find any scores on IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, or Metacritic for this one.
I'm sure there isn't because it looks terrible.
Well, I mean, it's got John Cena. It's
but got you can't Keegan-Michael see him in
Key,
it, though.
Right? Yeah. It's got Keegan-Michael Key. It's got John Leguizamo. And it's got
Tyler Mane,
and it's also got
Brianna Hildebrand. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Basically, I thought it was when I watched the trailer. I thought it was I was like, oh, that's the actress who played Paige in Fighting with My Family. Come to find out, it's Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
What? Wait, what? Yeah. No.
Yeah, yeah, it's her.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
Brianna Hildebrand.
Okay. I'm shook.
How old is she? She looked way younger in the trailer for Playing with Fire.
23.
Oh, so she was like 20 when Deadpool came out.
Okay. Wow.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
I'm surprised to see Tyler Mane in the family movie, though.
Right. He's only been in like horror movies and
John Wick.
Yeah.
He was in John Wick?
I think so. Wasn't that him? Or am I thinking of somebody else? No, I'm thinking of somebody else. I apologize.
I don't think Tyler Mane was in that. Like, yeah, he was in Troy. He was Sabretooth in X-Men. And then he was Michael Myers in Rob Zombie's. Which, some people thought that was ridiculous. But I liked the idea of Michael Myers being, like, immensely, ridiculously strong. And just, like, over the top big and unstoppable. Because I'm like, okay, well.
I mean, in the original Halloween, wasn't he basically unstoppable?
But, I mean, he was, like, average sized guy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like how Rob Zombie made him. Because some people I watched his video essay on it, and I guess people didn't like the fact that he was, like, I guess, overly massive and just immensely strong and basically unstoppable. I'm like, well, he was always unstoppable. That's what made him scary. But now it's more believable that he's unstoppable because he's this monster of a human.
I was reading something and it was like, no matter how fast you can run, Michael Myers can walk faster.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember the name now. I'm not expecting you to answer this because I don't suppose you've seen Rob Zombie's Halloween, but when he's in the bathroom stall.
Oh, what's his name? Are you talking about like that black guy?
Yeah, gosh. I can't even remember the actor's name and now I feel worse about that.
In the first Rob Zombie one?
Or? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he just stands toe to toe with him. Oh, what's his name? He's got the afro and he pulls out the knife.
God, what was it? Okay. Hold on.
I'm trying not to look it up. As soon as you say it, because I
remember. Do you know his character's name?
That's what I'm trying to remember. Mm. I don't, and I feel even worse that I don't remember the actor. He played, he was in Dawn of the Dead. He was like the priest who was on the TV.
Ken Foree?
Is that his name?
That's the actor's name.
Yep. Yep, that's him.
Okay. And his name in the movie was...
Big Joe Grizzly.
Yeah. I'm Big Joe Grizzly. Finish it, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just stands toe-to-toe with him. And then it makes it more... You know, watching Michael take this other large human out. Granted, it was a struggle, but it's more believable.
Okay. So playing with fire.
Okay, 40. Okay. Yeah. He's in the original Dawn of the Dead. Duh. Okay, but playing with fire, no.
Yeah, no. That's going to be a big no for me.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to see it, but... does it feel like John Cena is trying to take the Rock kind of way of becoming a like, full-on movie star? Like, doing a bunch of, like, these kids' movies and things like that in order to kind of get a foothold, but he's been doing kids' movies for a lot longer than The Rock had to do kids' movies kind of thing.
Are you trying to say that John Cena is trying to go the Tooth Fairy route and, like, game plan and that kind of stuff? Escape to Witch Mountain? Yeah. Maybe. I mean,
he did do, what's that Amy Schumer one?
Oh, I know. I can see it. What was it?
Oh, you're talking about John Cena?
Yeah.
Oh, that was, I literally just thought about this movie yesterday, actually, or ironically. I can't remember how, but Trainwreck.
Yes.
Yep.
I think it was, somebody at work mentioned Amy Schumer, and then it made me think of that movie. And then I just remember, for whatever reason, the first thing that popped in my head, I was like, oh yeah, she was smashing John Cena in that movie, and then he had like that awkward bathroom scene.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the movie theater scene.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Backtracking real quick. Now I remember why I remember Ken Foree so much. He was the dad in Kenan and Kel. That's where I remember him the most. Before Halloween.
He was, wasn't he?
That's what I remember. I was like, gosh, I know him specifically from something. Because when I saw him in Halloween, I was like, oh, that's... But yeah.
That was a great show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yep.
And he was even scary as... Was he Kenan's dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Kenan's dad.
Yeah.
Because Kel would drive him insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Kel was the friend that always came over and invited himself in and invited himself to dinner. And
All
that kind of stuff.
Who loves orange soda?
Kel loves orange soda.
If you think about it now, like, to put it into perspective, like in the 90s when that was like our show to watch, you think about it now when, you know, you'd be watching Nickelodeon and then Late Night Nick would come on. You're like, oh.
Nick at Night.
Here's the boring stuff. Like, I'm turning this off and it's, you know, 80s and 70s Nickelodeon. You know? Now, Kenan and Kel, that's to kids today what that stuff was to us back in the day.
Oh, here you go.
Like when Happy Day... Actually, I liked Happy Day, so I wouldn't shut it off. But
No, like... man, I feel like Golden Girls got played a lot at night.
Yeah, you know, when something like that would come on, you'd be like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or even I guess Growing Pains was 90s, wasn't it?
That was 90s.
I love that show.
Yeah. We used to watch that all the time. Growing Pains, Step by Step, Family Matters. Yep. Just all those ones.
I always like Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
Married with Children.
That wasn't Nick.
Yeah, no. That was Nick. Yeah, I know. That was Fox.
We didn't get to watch that one. There was the one where the dude would go down into his basement and he'd have like a stuffed bunny down there. And like the bunny would come alive when he was down there. Greg the Bunny? Possibly.
With Seth Green, I think it was.
Now I gotta check this out.
Oh, yeah, Greg the Bunny.
But I don't think that was a Nick and Knight.
No, that was like, Greg the Bunny was like 2002, it says.
I think it was Fox, too.
Possibly? Man, I don't know. Hmm. Okay. One second, I gotta double check this real quick. No, I don't think it was Greg the Bunny. Okay. Like, it was only alive for him, but then anybody else would come in and it would just be like a stuffed animal. Does that sound familiar at all?
No, I mean, that's immediately I went to Greg the Bunny.
I'm just going to name some off, even though I know it's a list of best Nick at Night shows we used to watch in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know it wasn't the Wonder Years. I know it wasn't Mary Tyler Moore's show. Wasn't the Munsters. Wasn't Happy Days. Wasn't the Brady Bunch. Vernon Shirley, no.
I mean, I don't think it was a Nick and Knight show. It was just a show in general.
No. But Three's Company, Beverly Hillbillies, I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched, Lucy. It was just a 90s Nickelodeon show. See what you've done, John.
Unhappily Ever After.
Gosh, it sounds familiar.
It does.
And the bunny's name was Mr. Floppy.
Okay, now that's starting to ring some bells.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about now.
Let me see if I can.
I just searched 90s Nickelodeon shows and now I'm going down memory lane. Eureka's Castle. What's the show called again?
Unhappily Ever After. That's Mr. Floppy.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
yep,
yeah. Yep, yep. 1995, yep. All right, but back.
Yeah, so a slightly cleaner takeoff of Married with Children. Wow. And Mr. Floppy, the epitome of Jack's raging schizophrenia, physically embodied in the form of a boozing, chain-smoking, perverse, stuffed gray rabbit with whom Jack consults for advice in the rabbit's basement playpen. Okay.
We could have a whole podcast of just, like, talking about 90 shows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
90 shows are a thing? What?
Well, just how great that whole decade was.
Yeah.
But
okay, but yeah, going back to the movie we were talking about, we're not going to go see it. I know we were talking about if we think John Cena is going to kind of go that, you know, The Rock way of becoming more of a bigger movie star. But, I mean, he's been in a lot of other stuff, too, that's not necessarily kid-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We'll see how it all goes.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have much else to do considering he's not going to wrestle anymore, so.
Is he officially out now?
Yeah, he said he can't do it because his body can't take it anymore. So,
I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty, well, let's head on over to our, the big disaster film of the week.
Alright.
So the next movie that we got this week is Midway. This one is rated PG-13. Midway centers on the Battle of Midway, a clash between the American fleet and the Imperial Japanese Navy, which marked a pivotal turning point in the Pacific Theater during World War II. The film, based on real-life events of this historic feat, tells the story of the leaders and soldiers who used their instincts, fortitude, and bravery to overcome the odds. IMDb has this one at a 6.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 35%, and Metacritic is sitting at a 50. Now, you know the reason I said that I called this a disaster movie, right?
Because of Roland Emmerich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's being directed by Roland Emmerich,
mm-hmm.
who did Independence Day.
Yep.
He did...
Day After Tomorrow.
Day After Tomorrow.
He did 2012.
Yep. All the big kind of, like, disaster. Did he do Poseidon's Adventure?
No, I don't think so. He also did Godzilla.
Oh, that's right. The 98 Matthew Broderick one.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's see his directorial credits. White House Down.
Ooh, okay.
The Patriot.
Oh, that's right. I love that movie.
Yep, Independence Day, Godzilla, Day After Tomorrow, 10,000 BC, 2012, Independence Day Resurgence. Apparently, it's been announced that he's going to do a Stargate movie.
Ooh, okay.
Wouldn't mind seeing that booted back up here.
I never watched the original or the TV shows or...
It was like, the original movie was pretty good.
Okay.
And then the TV shows, I mean, I never got a chance to really watch them, but...
Okay.
I know they definitely had a following.
Mm-hmm.
So Mandy Moore is in this movie.
Hmm.
Yeah, so is Francis.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
With an American accent.
And his name is Dick.
Really?
Dick Best. Not going to touch it, but...
Alrighty. I saw that Mandy Moore's name was listed there.
Which is kind of funny. And you know what her name is? Ann Best.
So she's married.
Or a sibling. Want to know what's ironic? Francis is in this, and Luke Evans' character's name is Wade.
Very nice. And then, Patrick Wilson. That's who it was. I could not remember him or remember who it was in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Patrick Wilson.
And also Woody Harrelson. He's in it.
And Two-Face, the original.
Yep.
Well, the good.
Yeah.
The original good Two-Face.
Nick Jones.
Of the recent Two Faces.
Yes.
Oh, Dennis Quaid.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, I kind of want to see it just because I do enjoy me a good, like, Roland Emmerich kind of style of movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of like shut your brain off and let it happen.
I just don't know how well I'm going to be able to, you know, not be distracted by... Ed Skrein and his American accent. Because it sounded like he was almost going for like a New York or Boston or, you know, kind of East Coast kind of accent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'll have to see. I will definitely check it out. Let you guys know how it is.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. I don't know. I might try to go see a movie on Monday. We'll see. See how it goes.
Do it.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a good, you know, kind of Roland Emmerich style movie, you know, kind of the, I guess you would say epic shots.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, go ahead and check out the Roland Emmerich Midway then. Alrighty. You guys ready for the next movie then?
Yeah.
Perfect. The next movie that we have is...
No. But go ahead.
Better Days. This one is not rated. Nian finds her life at a standstill when faced by relentless bullying from her peers as she prepares for her college entrance exam. Fate brings her together with small-time criminal Bay, but before they can retreat into a world of their own, both are dragged into the middle of a murder investigation that will change their lives forever. The dramatic thriller paints a bleak picture of an oppressive society, in the guise of a gripping fairy tale love story, exposing the dark world of bullying and societal pressures of achievement facing today's youth. IMDb has this one at 7.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic did not have a score for this one. So, yeah. Nothing?
No.
Yeah, no.
I don't even have anything to say about it. It's like, I couldn't even tell what it was like about from the trailer.
Yeah. I can definitely see that.
When it started, the trailer, I mean, I was immediately thinking, oh, she was bullied or something like that, to where, like, this is a story of how she, like, overcomes her, the odds and things like that.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one is going to be in Mandarin, so it's going to be all subtitled and everything like that.
Sure.
But, yeah, I don't know, I did not get what the synopsis was saying. I did not get that from the trailer at all. Yeah, like, no. I got kind of like the bullying and stuff like that, like you were saying, but other than that, it was not that much like what it was apparently about.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be able to go and catch this one personally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, let's go ahead and move on to the next movie that we got.
Mm-hmm.
This one is Last Christmas. It is rated PG-13. Kate harumphs around London, a bundle of bad decisions, accompanied by the jangle of bells on her shoes, another irritating consequence from her job as an elf in a year-round Christmas shop. Tom seems too good to be true when he walks into her life and starts to see through so many of Kate's barriers. As London transforms into the most wonderful time of the year, nothing should work for these two. But sometimes, you gotta let the snow fall where it may, you gotta listen to your heart, and you gotta have faith. IMDb has this one, or doesn't have a score for this one. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 43%, and Metacritic is sitting at a 50.
I am a sucker for Christmas movies, so yes, I'll watch this one.
I mean, at least Emilia Clarke is, you know, trying to branch out a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, it's a different role than we're used to seeing her in.
Right, right.
Definitely.
Same kind of role that we're used to seeing the other guy in, but...
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, yeah.
I can never remember his name.
She was also in that one movie, I think it came out like maybe 5-6 years ago, where she was taking care of a paraplegic. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, Before You? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Henry Golding, that's the guy I was looking for.
Okay, yeah.
Because he was in Crazy Rich Asians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I know him from. But, yeah, I mean, Emilia Clarke is in this one. Emma Thompson is her mom in this one. Yeah, I don't really...
Looks like it'll still be better than when she played Sarah Connor, so...
Yeah.
I mean, with what she was given, I think she did well as Sarah Connor. With what she was given.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I might get dragged to this one. We'll see. It Otherwise, like it if it... Is it going to be in theaters?
It is, yes.
Okay.
So we're getting it this weekend.
Okay.
So.
I wasn't sure if this was going right to streaming or if it was...
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah. No, it'll be in theaters.
Going to theaters. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, if you want to support Emilia Clarke with being not, you know...
Khaleesi.
Typecast as that kind of character, then might be something to go catch.
I do... Hopefully this isn't a spoiler, but I do have a feeling this movie is going to have something to do with the song. It's like Last Christmas, I Gave You My Heart the very next day.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
And they said right at the end, and music...
By George Michael.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you listen to the synopsis, the very last line,
because
you got to have faith. So they're definitely using a lot of George Michael songs.
Yeah, when you said when you read the synopsis and said, got to have faith, I thought to myself, I'm like, George Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think they're going to be using quite a few songs of his.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, I mean, we might as well just keep on keeping on here.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Move on to our second to last movie, which is The Kingmaker. This one is rated R. Centered on the indomitable character of Imelda Marcos, The Kingmaker examines, with intimate access, the Marcos family's improbable return to power in the Philippines. The film explores the disturbing legacy of the Marcos regime and chronicles Imelda's present-day push to help her son, Bongbong, win the vice presidency. To this end, Imelda confidently rewrites her family's history of corruption, replacing it with a narrative of a matriarch's extravagant love for her country. IMDb has this one at a 7.0 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 100%, and Metacritic is sitting at a 73. I mean...
No.
No.
It looks like a pretty interesting documentary.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know...
You need to go learn more about Bongbong?
I know everything that's been happening over in, like, the Philippines and stuff is just, like, insane, the amount of corruption and everything like that that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I kind of want to see it.
Okay.
Yeah, so you guys aren't going to go see it. I'm going to try to maybe see if I can find it anywhere. Or at least wait until streaming and then...
Yeah.
The little bit I do pay attention to, like, political stuff, especially stuff in other parts of the world, it's just that much less when football season is on. I realize that. And it's kind of funny. Actually, it's not funny. It's kind of sad. Because I said to myself, because, like, you know, when football season's not on, I don't listen to as many, like, sports podcasts and all that stuff or sports shows talking about what's going on with the league. And, you know, I focus on more political stuff, and I'll listen to those kind of podcasts or pay attention to the news a little more. But then I'm like, I said to myself, I was like, wow, I feel so much more happy and everything's more enjoyable when I'm not paying attention to politics and the news as much.
Yeah, I can feel that. It's like it's such a downer a lot of the time and just filled with so many things. And it's just like it's nice to not have to... watch that every day, but And I don't want to go to a movie and have to, you know, feel bad.
Oh, that too. Yeah, gosh. That's another thing I thought of. Yeah. I was like, when I don't pay attention to this stuff, like, I remember I'd go to these movies that had controversy surrounding it, and I would just be like, I don't know anything of it. I'm just going to go watch the movie based off of that. But then when you know so much more about, like, the drama and, like, people, why they're mad or, like, who's on which side of what, you're just like, God. But no, I mean, other day it was, like, slow sports day, and I was listening. I was like, yeah, this isn't interesting. I was like, oh, I'll listen to this podcast. And it was, you know, political podcast. And then I was like, oh, yeah, this is why I don't like listening to this crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, oh, well, at least I'm somewhat informed.
Okay, well, might as well just go ahead and hit up our last movie for this week here.
You got it, honey.
Speaking of, this one is called Honey Boy, which is rated R, from a screenplay by Shia LaBeouf. Based on his own experiences, award-winning filmmaker Almahara brings to life a young actor's stormy childhood and early adult years as he struggles to reconcile with his father through cinema and dreams. Fictionalizing his childhood ascent to stardom and subsequent adult crash landing into rehab and recovery, Harrell casts Noah Jupe and Lucas Hedges as Ortis Lort, navigating different stages in a frenetic career. LaBeouf takes on the daring and therapeutic challenge of playing a version of his own father, an ex-rodeo clown, and a felon. Harrell's feature narrative debut is one-of-a-kind collaboration between filmmaker and subject, exploring art as therapy and imagination as hope. IMDb has this one at a 6.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 96% certified fresh, and Metacritic is at a 67.
I think Shia LaBeouf's got chops.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I know I've been hearing about this one for a while, about how basically he was going to be playing his father.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, it looks like an intense movie.
Yeah.
Like, and super intense.
And very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you think of Shia LaBeouf's life and career.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
It seemed like for a while it was kind of like going down the tubes and, like, he was going to be, you know, one of those Hollywood tragedies, but...
Yeah.
Kind of
resurrected his career. He's pulled it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's pulled it back.
Did you ever see Peanut Butter...
Peanut Butter Falcon?
Yeah.
Never had a chance to. Mm. I keep hearing good things about it, but...
It's very, very good.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, growing up and, you know, watching Even Stevens and stuff like that, it's like, oh, hey, you know, this guy's funny, haha.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting into, like, the movies and stuff like that with, you know, I think he started with Holes, right? As, like, his really first kind of...
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Feature debut, I guess. And then going, you know, from, like, Transformers into the I'm Not Famous bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
He was also in Constantine. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was also in Disturbia.
Yes, he was.
I remember that. That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I mean, you know, it was a good movie when Alfred Hitchcock made it, too.
Yeah, but I was like 19, 20 years old when that movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
The Shia LaBeouf's Disturbia, not Hitchcock's.
No, I gotcha. When did Disturbia come out? There it is. No, that came out when we were like 18. 2007.
Oh, yeah. I was 1 year off. I said 19, 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be right on. Everybody's used to being right on.
I said 2008, 2009.
You got to be right on. Our viewers and listeners expect you to be right on all the time. Come on, man.
I'm usually pretty good. Without looking it up.
And he was an iRobot, too.
Was he? Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah.
She shot you with her eyes closed.
Yeah. He was in that movie Eagle Eye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Transformers movies, of course. I know there's more. Just can't think of them.
Think of a movie that's coming out pretty soon, but, like, the movie that's coming out is a reboot of two movies, and he was in the sequel of that one. You ready for a hint?
Yeah.
Good morning, Angels.
Oh, Charlie's Angels? Oh, he was, yep.
He was in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
Okay.
As the witness protection kid.
That's right.
Who rode a dirt bike.
Yep. The first Charlie's Angels movie that they made was probably the best one. like number two wasn't that great with Demi Moore, but at least the first one was pretty good. But we'll get into that when that one comes out. But
absolutely, absolutely. Let's see here. Oh, we did Surf's Up, which was that, wasn't that the Penguin movie?
Mm-hmm.
Penguin animated movie.
Yep.
And then he was Mutt Williams.
Williams.
Do you remember where that was from?
Sounds familiar.
He was the son of Harrison Ford.
Oh God, Indiana Jones.
Ah, oh, man.
Swinging on the vines.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then he was in a short on the internet where he was an actual cannibal.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 2014. Wow. That was 5 years ago. Like, Fury was 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's another one. Are we just going over Shia LaBeouf's entire filmography or what?
And then more recently, he was in Peanut Butter Falcon. Did you guys know that?
I never did watch Fury.
That one, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That's what I hear. I'm going to have to watch it.
Speaking of war films, though,
mm-hmm.
I was watching this one thing, and they were talking about Band of Brothers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a scene in Band of Brothers where a dude gets crushed by a tank. Apparently, that was an actual stuntman got crushed by a tank. But, you know, they did the whole thing where they dug out a hole, put foam there, put a little bit of, like, a layer of dirt on top.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, you know, quote unquote, got shot in the leg or whatever. So he fell down, crawled to where the foam was, and then the tank ran over him.
Mm.
Wow.
But in the actual show, like, there's a bunch of different cuts. And so you're like, oh, that's just special effects. No, there was a stuntman that actually did that.
The dedication.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't worry, guys. I got this.
And then the helmet got crushed like 2 feet in front of him.
Ooh.
Like, and you saw the helmet go.
Oh, jeez.
Not my first choice.
Yeah, no.
No. But yeah, I don't know. That's just something that I had just learned, so figured I'd share the knowledge.
Yay.
But yeah. So, Honey Boy looks pretty good.
Yes.
I know it's just a limited release right now, but if it gets to be more of a wide release, do you think you're going to try to go catch it? Or does this fall into that movie that just makes you more depressed? Because you know that it's based off of real life.
I definitely want to see it. I don't know if I'd watch it in theaters, though. Like, if it comes on Netflix, for sure. Or Hulu, wherever. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that right there was our last movie of the day. You guys got anything else to say?
Nah.
Alrighty.
unless you do, but...
No. I don't really got anything else here. In that case, go ahead and follow us on Facebook. We are facebook.com/moviesarething. No spaces, dashes, slashes in that last little part. facebook.com/moviesarething. We are also on Twitter and Instagram @moviesarething. No spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that. @moviesarething on Twitter and Instagram. We also do have a Patreon. So if you want to help support our podcast here, you know, we just go to patreon.com/moviesarething.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it one more time. No spaces, dashes, slashes in that last little part. Movies are... or patreon.com/moviesarething. You okay over there?
I don't know. I just, every time you do this little ending dialogue, spiel, all I hear in my head is.
And tune in next week when we talk about
exactly.
But yeah, if you wanna help support our podcast, go ahead and support us on patreon.com/moviesarething. And yeah, that's about all I got here. Have a fantastic week, and
here it comes.
Cue the outro.
Thank you for listening to Movies Are a Thing.
Come back next week for more movies and tangents with us.
Sweet. Alrighty. I think that we should be good to go. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
That's aggressive.
Alrighty. Good way to start things off here.
Oh, yeah.
And there is another movie that has not pulled up to expectations.
Okay. Digger out.
Dude. Just right away.
Diggs, get down.
Can I help you?
Dude, I let you in here because you were meowing outside. Don't do it in here.
Alrighty. But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Lethal Mort.
Wow, to the face. Diggs. Wow. Okay. Like, you just came in. You can't go out.
He's going out.
You guys ready for Patreon?
Let's do it. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Meow. Meow.
Don't mock me.